me
again. Yeah. Another show. Left it a bit long this time, but there you go.
We don't even know how long we've left it. That's what's quite tragic, isn't
it? So we're going to have to check back and see how long it's been.
Is it 2 months ago? 3 months ago?
Somewhat. That last one was... Actually, the last show we actually recorded, we haven't even put out yet.
Yeah, I noticed that. So we've got half a show we haven't even put out. So this is the come back to the prequel show or something? Oh, I don't know. It's fucking confusing now.
What was it about?
I can't remember the last one.
No, I can't.
Well, as you can see, we've just...
I'll tell you what, we'll use it as an extra on a CD.
Yeah, we've just got out of rehab.
What, again?
It sounds like, doesn't it? Got no fucking memory of the last 2 months. Anyway, we're
back.
That's
normal for me.
Well, yeah. Where we are back.
What have you been up to then, Spocker, apart from winning the World Cup?
Oh, harvesting some very fine weed. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And winning the World Cup, of course. Yep.
Yeah. Single-handedly.
Indeed.
Or single-footedly.
I'm the tipster to the Octopus, you see.
Ah, Paul the Octopus. He's going to be on the show today.
Is he, indeed?
Yeah, we're talking about Paul the Octopus. Octopus.
Octopus. Cool.
What else are we talking about, then?
Well, Paranormal Odysseys is what we're doing, isn't it?
Right.
And we're still drinking throughout the show, I believe. Is this correct?
I think we are. Yes, I think it's.
Except I'm getting stoned now, but I do have a can of beer with me.
So I have the Old Faithful.
You can have one beer with weed, can't you?
Of course you can.
Of course you fucking can.
I've got a can of Carling on hand, so.
Yeah. I'll be doing a reefer up throughout the show, which is. Fantastic.
Are you not allowed to smoke in the house, then?
Well, you can't really. It stinks, weed.
Yeah, but would they let you smoke cigarettes in the house?
No.
No, well, there you go. You can't smoke in the house, can you?
No.
No.
You wouldn't want to anyway. This stuff is horrible. Very dank.
Well, it hangs around for days, type.
Uh-huh.
I see.
So, where were we? We're at the beginning of the show again.
Yeah,
we haven't. You haven't said what you're drinking.
I just did. How much have you smoked?
Oh.
I said twice, at least twice, maybe three times. I've got a can of Carling in my hand.
Okay.
The listeners will back me up, because it's been recorded.
I'll let you take the lead in the show, then.
Oh, thanks very much. Right, well, we're going to start with Paul the Octopus. As you know, Paul the Octopus.
Yeah.
Predicted every one of...
Psychic Octopus.
No, sorry, the Psychic Octopus. Predicted every one of Germany's... World Cup victories. I think he predicted their defeat as well. The last
seven games.
But it wasn't just this football tournament that he started. He started at Euro 2008, where he predicted some of Germany's World Cup triumphs. What was it, Euro 28 against Poland? Result was 2-0. That was correct. Against Croatia, it was 1-2. That was incorrect. He's not, 100% on that one, but he's been 100% in 2010 campaign.
Exactly.
Austria, Germany, 1-0, correct. Portugal.
How does he pick him? Exactly.
Well, what he does, what they do is there's two Perspex boxes, right, and they've got, they put the flag of the contending nations in each one.
Mm-hmm. They
do put food in them, right.
Yeah.
But, how do you explain the way he's been correct, 100%?
Well, I suppose
he goes, basically what he does, he goes and sits on whichever one he thinks he's going to win.
if he got seven of them right in a go, I don't know what the odds are against him not getting that. Probably quite,
I don't know, we need a mathematician to work that out for us.
Yeah, wonder if they came up with those figures.
I think they did. I think, is it?
Are you sure there's no one coaxing the damn thing, though? That's
no.
The sort of food near the flag.
I don't know, they wouldn't show you that, would they? I mean, apparently, his apparent success, apparently, was comparable to running up and tossing a coin. This is according to a professor in the University of Bath called Chris Budd.
Yeah.
He said that the amount of times he's got it right, if you tossed a coin 8 times,
yeah,
it is plausible that it'd come up heads every time.
It's plausible, but
yeah,
it's unlikely. You would say that was unlikely, wouldn't you?
I don't think there's been enough. I don't think there was enough. You know, you'd need at least a couple of thousand attempts, and if you got them all right, then you'd think, oh, there's something weird going on here, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
But I think just 8 goes.
I mean, if that is genuinely a psychic octopus, you'd think they'd start interbreeding those, wouldn't you, and flogging them on eBay or something.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? How much would you pay
for
a psychic octopus?
Well, you'd pay a lot, wouldn't you, because you'd do your horses and all your bets and...
Yeah, but
your lottery numbers and...
You'd have to drag him down the bookies in a big tank, wouldn't you?
Well, no, you just get the answer out of him first, feed him whatever he eats, and then coax it out, the bugger. Right. You'd be a millionaire within, well, very quickly. Within a year, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Apparently, though, they only live for, like, 2.5 years, so... They've put me into retirement now.
Oh, right.
So he's not going to, you know... The next one, was it 2012? He's not going to be involved in any oracle-type predictions.
So this octopus, then, what has he got? Like TV contracts? He's on TV now, is he, and stuff like that, doing daytime interviews and.
Yeah, I'd say he's great on cookery programmes.
Okay, now yeah. they've given an octopus a contract.
No, they haven't. Don't be silly.
I bet they have.
Well, a contract's going to last 12 months. He's going to die in about 3 months.
He'd want to get paid a hell of a lot then, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I suppose if you'd have to sort of ratio that against a human life. It's probably, you know, 2 to 4, isn't it, or something?
You ever heard of the animal rights organisation called PETA?
I have not.
Have you not?
No. Should I
anyway,
have?
Well, yeah, they're quite famous. You know, they argued that it's cruel to keep him in permanent confinement, so they wanted him to be released.
Yeah, we could say that about all the bloody farmyard animals, couldn't you?
Yeah, but Paul was born in captivity, so
but
if you released him...
But can you imagine the chaos after it, if you're just releasing all these animals everywhere? You couldn't do it.
Yeah, but if you released a psychic octopus, he'd go rogue, wouldn't he?
He might do.
He'd go... He'd be hanging around the bookies.
He could conceivably take the world over, couldn't he?
He could. He could. Genocidal, you know, megalomaniac psychic octopus. It doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
God,
blimey. A scary
UN,
thought, isn't it?
UN would have a headache with that one, wouldn't they?
Cool. Yeah. Would they not?
Oh, it's quite interesting, some of these stories, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what we'll be talking about today on the show, I believe.
No, we've just talked about that. That was that.
Yeah. That was that. We're supposed to be doing the intro section still, aren't we?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, bloody hell. Never mind.
That was the extent of Paul the Octopus.
That was Paul the Octopus?
That was Paul the Octopus. Apparently... not to be outdone, there were other animals who tried to predict the outcome of World Cup matches.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
The animals at the Chemnitz Zoo in Germany were all wrong on Germany's group stage games, with Leon the porcupine picking Australia, mm-hmm. Petty the pygmy hippopotamus spurning Serbia's apple-topped pile of hay, and Anton the Tamarin eating a raisin representing Ghana. Manny the parakeet of Singapore picked the Netherlands to win the final. How wrong could they be?
Bloody hell. that's a strange thing to get animals to predict the future.
Well, they're no worse than us in doing it, are they?
There seems to... Well...
If animals ruled the world...
Yeah.
Did you ever see that BBC Two documentary? It was a what if type thing. What would happen if all the humans just disappeared off the planet?
Didn't they do a film like that? Wasn't there a film done like that? There was, wasn't there?
There's been loads of films done like that. But this is what would happen to the world. What would happen to all the buildings and, you know, the infrastructure that's been built up over the thousands of years?
Mm.
Over time, what would happen? Gradually, the you know, the environment would claim it all back, wouldn't it?
Of course it would. Yeah. I think concrete only lasts about 100 years. Something like that.
So if you can hear Sky News in the background, I'm really sorry. I'm going to turn it down.
I can't hear anything in the background. Same quality. It's very good, unusually, this week.
That's good.
As we've had a hardware upgrade, haven't we?
Yeah, I've got a brand new pooter.
Thanks for the donations to the BMR Studios.
Mm-hmm.
We're not this anonymous donator, we can't...
No, it's an anonymous beneficiary.
Indeed. So there you go.
We'll have to put up some pictures of the new BMR Studios as well. Because we've moved again, haven't we? We now reside in a disused water tower now, don't we?
Brilliant, yes, we do.
Yeah.
All fixed up with its own electricity and...
Yep, formerly owned by Southern Water.
Good stuff.
Got a big aerial on the top, so... I'll put a picture up.
Yeah, so the show's getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we've still got listeners out there. I think we probably have.
So. If anyone else, also, if anybody wants to contact the show, you can email us at badmoonrising@howling.com. We'll always reply.
We've got loads of time to, because it's gone, yeah.
But there you go.
And what else have we got? The Bad Moon, do the website, this one, and all that.
Well, if you want to follow the blog, it's badmoonrisingpodcast.blogspot.com. What else have we got? Twitter, if you want to follow us on Twitter, Bad Moon Rising 1.
You can put loads of jingly music next to that when you go back to edit it.
Yeah, well, I might even do a separate jingle anyway, but this is just to remind people that they can contact us if they want.
Cool. By the way, yeah, go on, Karen.
I would give out the
email address.
I've done the email address. Were you forgetting stuff? how stoned are you?
Very.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I would give out the phony number, but it's uselessly out of date now, and they've closed it down, so I'll have to open another one.
Okay.
If you don't use it within 30 days, they close it down.
Uh-huh.
So, I haven't used it.
Radio.
All right. Well, it's 15 minutes already.
Oh, cool. Shall we take a show break there?
I think so. What I'll do is I'll just pause it.
Well, no, we'll stick some music in there. Can I put a track in it?
You want. What do you mean?
Can I put a dub track in here?
Who the hell's dub?
We'll do a music track, sort of, every week. Here we go, starting from now. I'll put a dub track in.
Well, you'll have to send it to me then, won't you?
I will do, yeah. I'm just going to let you know what it is.
What is it?
In 2 seconds. It's going to be King Tubby. A track from King Tubby.
King Tubby?
Indeed.
Okay. Well, this is King Tubby.
This is King Tubby, a first-class dub.
Right, stop using the word dub. You're not in the 90s.
That's what it's called. What do you mean, dub? Dub's 60s. 50s and 60s dub music.
Yeah, but
it's
started...
a genre of reggae. It was started by some bloody sound engineer.
Oh, look, I'm not really interested in musical history.
It doesn't matter. That's where the show cuts anyway.
Yeah, right.
So, you want to cut there?
Yeah. Right, hang on, let me pause.
Are you organising a Christmas party this year? Are you fed up with the same old boring novelty acts? Then you need...
Stripping Grannies. We're old, bold, and our fingers are cold.
We here at Stripping Grannies understand you want to liven up your party with something a bit special. And let's face it, what's more special than someone's gran in the bath? And don't worry, they're not coy about their age either. They are no longer ladies of a certain age. When you get to their age, they can't wait to tell you.
I'm 91.
Stripping Grannies. We're old, bold, and our heartbeats controlled.
Our ladies are all certified octogenarians, or over, and most of them only smell slightly of mothballs.
I'm 93.
If you want a bit of twinkle, do it with a bit of wrinkle. After all, there's more places for you to tuck your tanner.
I'm 90. Oh, here, wait a minute. Why am I naked?
To pay for your heating, love. Now, get your bra off.
Stripping Grannies, we're old, bold, and smell slightly of mold.
Stripping Grannies, up for rent, but incontinent.
And we're back from that wonderful track. That's King Tubby, a first-class dub.
Yeah, that was marvellous, Spot. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that's what I'd chill you out a bit.
Yeah.
Sounds good with a wee smoke of Master Kush.
A wee smoke of what?
Master Kush, or some skunk, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to take your word for that, wouldn't I?
Indeed!
Not being able to grow it in this country.
Oh.
Hang on, I almost gave away the fact that you're not in the same studio as me, then. I'll have to cut that out.
So you have put a lot of stuff in that gives stuff away, actually. Which you are going to have to cut out. That'll be later.
I'll do that later on.
Right, so what are you going to cut?
Obviously, you've seen the Final Destination franchise of films, haven't you?
Yes, I have indeed. Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, I've seen the first one,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw a trailer for the second one, and I thought that looked really shit, so I thought I'd stop there.
It was really shit.
Yeah, I think the best one out is the first one.
It was the first one. But unbelievably, yeah. They made a fourth one.
I'm not surprised, like you say, it's now become a franchise, like Saw, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make any more Final Destinations, though. This one was called The Final Destination, and it was meant to wrap up the previous three films.
Well, they can still do a prequel.
Well,
they always get you at the prequel.
Sounds painful. Right.
Indeed.
it got me thinking about the weird... Because as humans, you know, we're quite fragile, aren't we, physically?
Yeah.
I mean, anything could come from anywhere. I mean, there's hardly any protection. We've got no exoskeleton, have we? Nothing. We're not like a fucking beetle or anything.
Yeah.
So, anything could come from anywhere at any time and just kill you. Just wipe you out.
Such as an asteroid or something, you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying everyday
such an
things.
Apocalyptic
like,
nature.
No, not one of those things. Let me finish.
A zombie holocaust.
No. Like, you're walking along the street, you trip over, and yeah. you impale your face on an iron fence. You know, these ones with spikes on.
Yeah.
It easily happen. It very rarely happens. Why doesn't it happen more often?
It probably happens enough.
Mm.
Probably, statistically speaking, probably.
But I've had a look online, and these freak accidents do occur.
My lord.
And, right, and I've got some reports going back to the 5th century. In fact. Yeah, I
really?
Kid you not. Yeah.
Go on.
I'm just going to go through the list for you. There's about 30 of them, so you'll have to bear with me.
Yeah.
Right, coming up to the present day.
Yeah.
So, from 456 BC... Oh, God, how do you pronounce that bloody name? Aesculus, a Greek playwright, was killed when an eagle dropped a live tortoise on him. Mistaking his bald head for a stone.
Okay.
Obviously, I would have thought that eagles pick up tortoises, drop them on big rocks to crack them open, and then eat what's inside.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
That's an interesting way to go, isn't it?
Well, yeah. The tortoise apparently survived.
Of course it would, yeah, because it's got quite a thick shell, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, I'm going to read you out this next one. You tell me... You point out the modern-day reference in this one, okay? This is from 272 BC. So this is going back to the 3rd century, okay? Mm-hmm. Pyrrhus of Epirus, the famous conqueror and source of the term Pyrrhic victory, according to Plutarch, died when fighting an urban battle in Argos on the back of an elephant.
In Argos?
In Argos. When an old woman threw a roof tile at him, stunning him and allowing an Argive soldier to kill him. So, Argos were going back then. I couldn't believe it. So instead of a laminated catalogue, they've got sort of like laminated parchments or scrolls with catalogue numbers on. Instead of those little pens you get, got little sticks of charcoal. Yeah?
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah? Anyway, I digress. I go on.
Yeah.
This one sounds particularly painful. Hypatia of Alexandra, Greek mathematician and philosopher, was murdered by a mob by having her skin ripped off with sharp seashells and what remained of her burned.
Shit. Was she alive after the sort of the seashell?
It doesn't say, but can you imagine it?
Well, theoretically you could still be alive if your skin's really well with seashells. If you did a really good job of it, then you would just, you know...
What, with seashells?
Yeah, it could be done. Doesn't say it was done really rapidly, does it? You're thinking of some sort of psycho horror movie.
It was done by a mob, though.
Yeah, but...
Mobs aren't really that organised, so you have an organised mob.
Were they a drunken mob?
The very nature of a mob means they're not organised. They're not, you know, they're not surgeons.
So they're all doing their own thing, so it could just...
They're not surgeons supplied with crustacean shells, you know. And, and there was no anaesthetic, so it had been very bloody painful, I would have thought. Anyway, would you like to have that, don't you? I wouldn't, no.
Go on, yeah. Go on.
In 892, Sigurd the Mighty of Orkney strapped the head of a defeated foe to his leg, the tooth of which grazed against him as he rode his horse, causing an infection which killed him. Yeah. So, chop somebody's head off, wear it next to your chin, you know, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, it's highly unlikely though, isn't it? Yeah. All right.
This next one's particularly nasty.
Okay.
I mean, you think some people are crazy today, right?
Yeah.
You listen to this, mother.
Go on.
1219. According to legend, Inulchuk, the Muslim governor of the central Asian town of Otra, was captured and killed by the invading Mongols, who poured molten silver in his eyes, ears and throat.
Okay, now. That must have hurt.
I know. Well, the rest of silver as well.
Well, they were definitely more imaginative in those days, weren't they? In terms of violence.
Yeah, I mean, you think, of all the stuff that you could probably do to a human being to kill them, probably already been done many times.
Oh, God.
Nothing's original. Nothing's original.
Nothing, is it? No, in the whole of human history.
1322, right?
Yeah,
Humphrey de Bohun, 4th Earl of Hereford, was fatally speared through the anus by a pikeman hiding under a bridge during the Battle of Boroughbridge.
Sounds a bit rude.
Sounds a bit lethal, mate.
Doesn't it?
I don't think there's any sexual intention towards it.
Right.
Oh, that's really, I'm really going to get off on this if I shove my pike up your arse.
Alright, okay. Well, it's an interesting way to go.
Yeah, I'd rather not go like that.
No. What else you got?
This one sounds a bit better. George Plantagenet, Duke of Clarence, reportedly was executed by drowning in a barrel of Malmsey wine at his own request.
Ah. That's a very good way to go, actually, isn't it? Yeah.
What, drowning in wine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you consider the options, that would be fairly high up the list.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
What else?
Professor George Wilhelm Richman of St. Petersburg, Russia, was struck and killed by a globe of ball lightning.
Oh, wow, that's a way to go.
To witness the rarest form of lightning in nature.
And then to have it kill you.
Which only about 300 people in history have seen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Incredible, isn't it?
Anyway, the next one's a bit of a twat, right? 1912. Franz Reichelt, a tailor, fell to his death off the first deck of the Eiffel Tower while testing his new invention.
God, what was it?
It was the coat parachute.
Fucking awesome. I'd have
typical
loved it,
Frenchman.
I'd have sparked up a big fat one there and just sat and watched that. That would have been brilliant.
Just watch a guy fall to his death with his coat flailing behind him.
Having so much faith in his strange invention and then just jumping off the end of... That must have been something to see. If you had a time machine, those are the sorts of things I'd go back and see.
Yeah. Not surprisingly, it was his first and last attempt.
Yeah.
So,
You'd expect it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. 1927. G.J. Parry Thomas, a Welsh racing driver, was decapitated by his car's drive chain, which, under stress, snapped and whipped into the cockpit.
Oh, nice.
He was attempting to break his own land speed record, which he had set the previous year. Get this right. Despite being killed in the attempt, he succeeded in setting a new record of 171 miles per hour.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Now, have you ever heard of Isadora Duncan?
No, I haven't, no.
No, she was a dancer. And she loved wearing these long, traily scarves.
Hmm. Why?
Why? Because it was in the fashion then, apparently.
That must have been a pain in the arse walking around the bleak streets.
Actually, it was a pain in the neck, because it broke her neck when it got stuck in a car's wheel that she was travelling in.
Oh, yeah, you get those occasionally, don't you? It's remember when they invented electric windows for cars? Showing our age a bit there. And loads of people started dying because their tyres were getting caught and the cars were sort of driving off.
Hmm. Actually, a few children have died by having their heads, you know, playing with it and getting their necks caught in the thing and just...
Just going choking
themselves to death.
Yeah, I suppose so. Technology kills us, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does.
Oh, dear me.
Anyway. Peggy Entwistle, an actress, leapt to her death from the H of the Hollywood sign, following her perceived rejection from the industry for which the sign stood.
Is that far enough to drop? Have you seen the Hollywood sign? It's only on a sort of tiny hill.
It's quite large, though.
It's quite high up in terms of altitude, but...
Anyway, that's nothing to do with the thingy. Anyway, she's dead. She died. We don't know how. She might... Oh, I don't know. She might...
She must have really put some effort into that one.
No, the day after her death, a letter arrived from the Beverly Hills Playhouse in which she was offered the lead role in a play about a woman driven to suicide.
Okay.
1966, we're getting more to the present day now.
Yeah.
Worth Bingham, son of Barry Bingham Sr., died when a surfboard lying atop the back of his convertible hit a parked car, swung round and broke his neck.
Swung round and broke his neck? Fucking hell.
Now, that is a Final Destination death, isn't it?
Yeah, that is, isn't it? That is.
Right, here's another Frenchman being a twat.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, sorry.
Nice, you can edit that bit out. Go on.
Yeah. Claude Francois, a French pop singer, right?
Yeah, go on.
You're just laughing at his name. It probably wasn't his real name.
Yeah, go on.
It's the English equivalent of Clive French.
Mm.
A French pop singer was electrocuted when he tried to change a light bulb while standing in his bathtub, which was full of water at the time.
Bloody hell.
1981. Boris Sagal, a film director, died while shooting the TV miniseries World War III when he walked into the tail rotor blade of a helicopter.
Ooh, nasty. Yeah, nasty.
Yeah. And this one sounds like a horror film, right?
Quick, but nasty, that.
Yeah. Kenji Urada was killed by a malfunctioning robot he was working on at a Kawasaki plant in Japan.
Yeah.
The robot's arm pushed him into a grinding machine, killing him. 1982, Vic Morrow, actor, was decapitated by a helicopter blade during filming of The Twilight Zone, the movie.
That's so popular, getting killed like that now.
What? Helicopter?
Yeah.
Four divers and a tender were killed on the Byford Dolphin semi-submersible when a decompression chamber explosively decompressed from 9 atmospheres to 1 atmosphere in a fraction of a second.
That's a lot of energy.
Yeah. The diver nearest the chamber opening literally exploded just before his remains were ejected through a 24-inch opening. The other diver's remains showed signs of boiled blood, unusually strong rigor mortis, large amounts of gas in the blood vessels and scattered hemorrhaging in the soft tissues.
Nice. I like the visceral language there.
Yes, thank you very much. This one, I saw this on the TV programme, and he's such an arsehole.
Who's that?
I'm almost glad he's dead. Gary Hoy.
Gary Hoy? Who the hell is that?
He's Gary Hoy. Or he was Gary Hoy.
I'm
a Toronto lawyer.
Google at this very moment.
Are you? You look it up and you tell me what you find.
Gary Hoy.
Gary Hoy.
You were about to say a Toronto lawyer, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. Yeah, go on, carry on, anyway.
He fell to his death after he threw himself through the glass wall on the 24th floor of the Toronto Dominion Centre in order to prove the glass was unbreakable.
Oh, well.
The glass was unbreakable. The pane didn't break, but instead just popped out of its frame.
And it went straight through.
Apparently, he always used to do it. When he met new people and they came to his office, he used to go, watch this. And he'd run towards the frame. So he's obviously weakened it throughout the years.
Yeah.
And he's just gone straight through.
I think I've seen a film with that very scene in now that reminded me of something. Can't remember what it's called, but there's a film where the guy does that, jumps against the glass. And, it's very funny. Anyway, sorry, go on, carry on.
There's only a couple left now.
Yeah.
2005, Kenneth Pinion.
Yeah.
I.e. Mr. Hands, don't know why they call him that, of Gig Harbour, Washington, died of acute peritonitis after seeking out...
I'll show you.
What do you call you, Dave Hedgehog? You Hedgehog, I'll show you.
Well, we got to get him in the show, you know that, don't you?
What, Dave Hedgehog and...
Spudgun.
Spudgun, yeah, right. Anyway.
Right, go on.
Died of acute peritonitis after seeking out and receiving anal intercourse from a stallion.
Bloody not.
An act he had engaged in previously. Pinion delayed his visit to the hospital for several hours out of reluctance to explain the circumstances of his injury to doctors. The case led to the criminalisation of bestiality in Washington.
Oh, you don't say.
I can't believe that up until, when was it, 2005, bestiality was legal in Washington.
It still is in some states in America, isn't it, apparently?
It's crazy.
Honestly, Christ, weird laws. Because the porn star that did Animal Farm lives in somewhere in America, in a state in America. There you go. Yeah, yeah. A little bit of knowledge there for you.
Is she still having sex with animals?
To see you through life, wouldn't it? Hey?
That'll see me in good stead for the rest of my life.
Well, anyway, that's a pretty shocking way to go, you're right, yeah.
2007.
Yeah.
Kevin Whitrick, a 42-year-old man, committed suicide by hanging himself live on webcam during an internet chat session.
I remember reading about that in the news, yeah.
It was only a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
2008, Gerald Mellin, I remember reading the paper about this one, a UK businessman, committed suicide by tying one end of a rope around his neck and the other to a tree. He then hopped into his Aston Martin DB7 and drove down a main road in Swansea until the rope decapitated him. He supposedly did this as an act of revenge against his ex-wife for leaving him.
Whoa, what a sick way to go.
How is it an act of revenge, though?
I've no idea.
She's already left him, so he's thinking, oh, I'll get her back, I'll kill myself. That's just crazy.
It is insane. It's a pretty dark, that one, actually. That's a pretty dark one.
I remember seeing that, and somebody describing this headless corpse driving an Aston Martin down a...
I bet he didn't think of that, did he? Yeah. All the people to get the shit out of. You know, corpse, blood spurting everywhere. Driving a Mercedes down the road, that's not on, is it?
Well, it was an Aston Martin. There you go.
Oh, it was an Aston Martin, was it? Well, I reckon it should have been a Mercedes.
All right. Last one, and this one probably took a lot of guts to do. Right. 2008. David File, 50, the last resident in a block of flats due to be demolished in Bishopstoke, near Southampton, Hampshire, UK, cut his own head off with a chainsaw to highlight the injustice of being forced to move out.
Jesus Christ. Mind you, if everyone protested like that, it would get the point across, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you'd only be able to do it once, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That'd be the end of your campaigning career, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, but I mean...
Being an activist.
It was fairly effective activism, isn't it? Because it's going to get you in the papers.
Well, yeah, for all the wrong reasons, really.
There's no such thing as bad press, is there?
Well,
maybe you've got an inspiring career in this sort of thing, you know. Might be the perfect first rung on the ladder, you know.
Yeah, we'd have to do the rest of it posthumously, wouldn't we? Or posthumously.
Well, yeah, you'd have to work out a posthumous contract of some sort, wouldn't you?
You'd only get paid once. Well, you wouldn't get paid, would you?
Well, no, you'd have to assume that...
Everyone's doing it, because you wouldn't need money, would you?
You'll be reanimated eventually. Or you could put...
You'd have to... Yeah, at that point, yeah. Have your head frozen, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So straight after the act of decapitation with a chainsaw, you'd have to have somebody come in...
freeze your head with loads of...
Nitrogen, oxide. Yeah. Liquid nitrogen, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. It would be cool. It'd be nitrogen, wouldn't it?
It'd be a good way to go as well, wouldn't it? Head frozen for all eternity. I'd ask for it to be put into orbit around Mars or something, you know, for 1,000 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But surely the orbit would decay before then, so...
Yeah, it probably would.
Right, we're going to go down to some ad breaks now.
Indeed, then. Yeah. Shall we break there? Good idea.
I think so.
Yeah, cool. Okay. The adverts.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Millions of Americans every day are shedding unwanted pounds by taking tested and proven Ultra LipoSchnick. Carbohydrates are bad, bad. Our carbo-fighting antioxidant is good, good. Just listen to these satisfied customers.
My name is Gal, and I lost like 20 pounds on Ultra LipoSchnick.
My name is Jared, and I lost 46 pounds using Ultra LipoSchnick.
My name is Zach, and I actually gained weight. This stuff sucks!
Ultra LipoSchnick is safe and easy to inject. Just 3 doses, 4 times a day, discreetly underneath your fingernail. Listen to this.
I used Ultra LipoSchnick and suffered from side effects like uncontrollable greasy discharge.
Ultra LipoSchnick, it turned the armpits of all of my shirts orange. This stuff is crap.
Try it today and see some real results. Ultra LipoSchnick, not available in stores. Results may vary.
Fucking hell, I've got a dry throat. We've done quite a bit now, haven't we?
Yeah, that's another 20 minutes. So we've done...
You're going to have to 36
36 minutes. Sorry, I will, but I'll put... Should we put some music tracks in there?
Just there's to, no you know, reason some... why we shouldn't.
No.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe you could select a track, and I could select a track each show or something. Eh?
Okay.
Or something like that.
But if we put in... Because I'm going to put a bib report in there anyway that I'm going to do later. So.
Oh, right, cool, okay.
So that'd be another 10 minutes.
Mm. Right, hold on. Oh, my throat is getting...
So, yeah, there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to get this out tonight. You know, like what? In the old days.
Oh, bloody hell, it's a bit quick though, isn't it? But there's no reason why you shouldn't. But still, I want to hear the end show before it goes out.
All right, well, I'll send it to you, probably.
All you have to do is upload it.
Mm. Oh, yeah, then you can go in and listen
and
to it.
And then I'll go in and listen to it. Yeah, I'll download it at my own leisure, listen to it, and then I'll, like, so cut this out, cut that out, whatever. And then, if it's fine, then we'll just go ahead. We'll just do it like that, yeah?
Okay.
Cool. All right, yeah. If you want to get it out tonight, get it out tonight. Yeah. The stats aren't bad on there. Have you had a look at them?
Well, no.
Yeah, I had a look at them yesterday. We had 26 downloads on Monday. And we've used up 3 gig already, and we haven't done anything. And it's, what, July 14th, isn't it? Yeah,
it's July 14th. Yeah. We haven't done anything for how long?
Ages. What am I talking about? The show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you starting to lose it now, Spock?
Sorry, man. I am losing it a bit because I'm stoned out of my head.
All right. Well, we've got. I'd say we've got half an hour's worth of material just us speaking.
Yeah. We could easily do another half hour.
Yeah. But I'm going to keep it to an hour.
Yeah.
With the bib report, which is 10 minutes, and with all the adverts and stuff, which is another 10 minutes, and the song.
My memory keeps from dropping out. I'm sorry, dude.
So really, all we need to do is another 10 minutes of talking.
Okay. What should we do then?
Right. Yeah. So if I cut you off now, phone you back. Hang on.
All right. So you can line it all up. Right. I'm going to go and get a beer.
Right. Okay. All right. So I'll phone you back in a minute then.
Yeah. Okay.
Bib Report.
There are apparitions that make public appearances. Some of these are said to be the perceptible double, etheric counterpart of a living person who is undergoing an out-of-body experience. Even more mysterious of the externalized perceptible manifestation of something whose existence originated in the mind of its creator by virtue of that person's incredible powers of concentration, visualization, and other more occult efforts of the mind. In Tibet, where such things are practiced, ghost of this kind is called a tulpa. A tulpa is usually produced by a skilled magician or yogi, although in some cases it is said to arise from the collective imagination of superstitious villagers, say, or of travellers passing through some sinister tract of country. When explorer Alexandra David Niel journeyed through Tibet, one of the many mystical techniques she studied was that of tulpa creation. Tulpa, according to traditional Tibetan doctrines, is an entity created by an act of imagination, rather like the fictional characters of a novelist. Except the tulpas are not written down. David Niel became so interested in the concept that she decided to try to create one. The method involved was essentially intense concentration and visualization. David Niel's tulpa began its existence as a plump, benign little monk, similar to Friar Tuck. It was at first entirely subjective, but gradually, with practice, she was able to visualize the tulpa out there like an imaginary ghost flitting about the real world. In time, the vision grew in clarity and substance until it was indistinguishable from physical reality, a sort of self-induced hallucination. But the day came when the hallucination slipped from her conscious control. She discovered that the monk would appear from time to time when she had not willed it. Furthermore, her friendly little figure was slimming down, taking on a distinctly sinister aspect. Eventually, her companions, who were unaware of the mental discipline she was practicing, began to ask about the stranger who had turned up in the camp. Clear indication that the creature, which was no more than solidified imagination, had definite, objective reality. At this point, David Niel decided things had gone too far and applied different alarmist techniques to reabsorb the creature into her own mind. Tulpa proved very unwilling to face destruction in his way, so much so that the process took several weeks and left its creator exhausted. My name's Bib. Till next time. Sweet dreams.
Bib Report. Next time on Batman Rising.
The house looks just like the one next to it. And the one next to that. And the one next to that. A young couple live in it.
Give Ken a kiss.
You are so obnoxious!
With their three children. And something more.
Here.
There.
sweetie, remember last night? Do you remember when you woke up and you said you're here?
Uh-huh.
Well, who did you mean? Who's here?
TV people.
Something's funny going on here next door. Something,
We were wondering if maybe you had experienced any disturbances.
What kind of disturbances?
I don't know whatever's over this house. I've never sensed anything like it.
That thing is in there with my baby!
They're hungry, too.
Now Steven Spielberg crosses a frightening new threshold into a world within our own. Its form is revealed.
What is it?
Its focus is clear.
You don't touch my baby!
And the games are over. It knows what scares you.